Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal Truth Seekers. I'm Ricky, your host for this evening. Welcome back, my returning listeners. If it's your first time tuning in, please click that follow button. Feel free to enter the live chat and talk with us there. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. There's some technical difficulties, so Ricky will be coming on shortly. He's having me introduce myself while he's trying to get back on. So I'm Davina. I've known Ricky since 2017. That's right. Yeah, 2017. January 2017. We both worked together in Seattle, Washington. Oh,
I'm here.
Perfect. Okay, Ricky can take it from here and I'll continue.
I do apologize, guys. I don't know what's going on, but Davina can tell you my mic was working just fine until that minute before we go live. It did the exact same thing it did before the last two times, where it just stops working. In that case, we'll definitely be moving on to a different format here. I'm going to start using that Skype one sooner than later and might have to stop using this one. I don't know what's going on with that, but thanks, Davina, for stepping up. I got connected. I had to call in on my phone again like last time. Just, I don't know what's going on with my mic.
Yeah, I have no idea. But, yes, I can confirm that everything was working well just fine until, like, maybe a minute before the show started.
It's done that the last two times. I don't get it. It's always something. But, anyways, welcome, Davina, to the show. Glad to have you. This is your first time with us here. And we'll go ahead and continue with your introduction. Go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying to everybody how I know you, that we work together in Seattle, Washington. And funny enough, we both don't live there anymore. But So, yeah, we've done paranormal investigations together. And I just wanted to bring that up. I also wanted to touch on, like, what got me into the paranormal in the first place. And, you know, I know, like, for a while I didn't really have a good answer to this, so I'm glad that I was able to look inside myself just in time to share it finally with everybody here. So the reason why, funny enough, that I have interest in the paranormal is that I just love stories. Like, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. I just love listening stories. That's just my...
Same here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be real, true. I just love listening to them. So I think that's what caught my interest in the paranormal, just because all these stories of, like, people's experiences I just thought were interesting. It didn't matter if it was true or not. Also, there's a possible genetic component to why I'm interested in the paranormal. As my mom is also interested in the paranormal, so it could just be an inherited interest, perhaps. So,
maybe.
Yeah. So, then I'll move on.
Same here with mine. My mom loved it, too.
Oh, yeah? You inherited possibly that interest?
Yes, possibly.
That's interesting.
All right, let's continue. So, like you said, we met at work, ironically enough, and I don't even remember how we got to the subject of the paranormal, but you knew I had a group, and you decided to join me on a few of those. I want to go ahead and share a few of those experiences with us, if you'd like.
Sure, yeah. I was going to start from my first paranormal experience all the way to my ones with you. So.
Even better. Let's do that.
Yeah, so first I'm going to start off when I was in high school, specifically senior year in high school, and I just want to put kind of like a footnote that because it's so long ago, it's been like 12 years since I've graduated high school, so the details of this memory isn't like very strong. So, in a way, I feel even a little skeptical myself looking back. At the same time, I do remember, like, really believing at the time that this actually happened. So, I can only go off of that. And so I was under the belief.
Because my headphones are gone.
Came out of nowhere. Mike did the same thing. I had to call in.
Hello?
Sorry about that. I got distracted, too. I'm looking for my headphones, ironically. I'm just talking to my phone, my Bluetooth ones, and they're nowhere to be found. Something is definitely trying to fight me on this tonight. But we'll push through. We'll keep on going.
Okay. So what happened was that I was convinced that I was hearing knocking at night on my bedroom door in my Lakewood home.
Mm.
And I, like, would just ignore it. And I kind of had a different approach to things at that age than I do now, where I have more courage, but back then I just did not. And part of me thinks that might have had to do with my religious background, because I feel like, not to speak ill of religions or anything, but I feel like Christianity doesn't really encourage, like, questioning or investigating things. So you just kind of tend to jump to conclusions. And I feel like that's kind of what I did at the time. So I never, like, went to check to see if there was anything on the other side. I just assumed it was something bad automatically. And I would just tell people that I've been hearing knocking on my bedroom door, and I would just ignore it, hoping it would go away and stop. And apparently one time my sister told me the next day that she heard the knocking too. So again, I remember at the time believing that this thing was happening, but since it's so long, looking back, I can't really, like, I don't remember as vivid how real the sounds were and all that stuff. So that was my first experience. And, my next experience was the Phoenix Inn in Albany, Oregon. Now, supposedly my mother did research and found that this place was haunted. I don't know the details of that, but maybe I'll research it for another show sometime. But she had to stay over there, see if we would get any type of paranormal activity while we were visiting family in the area. So one night when we did, we're all, like, laying in bed trying to sleep. Then all of a sudden I hear, like, my mom, like, saying that she sees something, like, I think moving or breathing on the ceiling. It, she gets, like, my aunt who's next to her to look, and she says she sees it too. And they both, like, are all getting scared and goofy about it. And so I try to, like, find what this is, and I ask where it's at, and they're trying to point at where it's at. And though there is a specific area that, like, drew my attention, the reason why I didn't think that was what they were talking about, because they were claiming that it was moving. And I didn't see this shadow or whatever move when I was looking at it. So that's why, like, you know, I was, like, drawn to it and was staring at it. I was like, nah, that can't be it. So I was still trying to look around, trying to figure out what it was. And although they were, like, freaking me out a little bit, I finally at one point just got brave and was like, you know what, I'm just going to investigate. So I decided to stand up and turn the light on, but before I even turned the light on, I stood up and noticed that shadow that was, like, drawing my attention was no longer there. And so that was weird. And even they noticed, like, shortly when I noticed that it was no longer there either. So I turned the light on, did an investigation, trying to rule, like, what could possibly cause a shadow to be in a specific spot to not be there anymore, and I couldn't find anything to explain it. We were on the second floor, I believe, and there were no trees that could have cast a shadow. It's not like it was windy out either. There was, like, nothing that could have, from the outside, cast that shadow inside. There was just no explanation. So even though I didn't see this thing move, I can confirm that I've seen a shadow in a particular spot that was no longer there. And And then the next thing was actually what happened to me in fall 2018, where I was personally haunted in my own apartment in Sumner, Washington. And I still to this day do not know how this happened. I remember at the time even trying to figure it out, and just nothing came to me. So I don't know how I caught this creature or spirit, but somehow I did, and it made itself known to me when I was watching, for the first time, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was watching that movie for the first time, and it was like getting towards the end where the female main character was like trying to escape, and like I was like getting kind of like anxiety and like getting into the movie like hoping that she escapes alive, and all of a sudden I see like this movement in the corner of my eye, and like it just, when it stopped, so finally I decided to look over. And it's the lid to my garbage can, like, flipping around silently. And to describe this garbage can lid, it's like the shape of a, I want to call it like a maxi pad. But if you don't know what that is, basically, it's one of those, like, teeter-tottering lids.
Right.
So, like, you push in one side, the other side lifts up, and then vice versa. And that was like moving, like teeter-tottering silently. And it stopped shortly dead, like not long after I was looking over. And that freaked me out. And I was trying to wake up my boyfriend at the time, and he just wasn't waking up. I was like, yeah, like there's like something going on, and you know, but no, I was left all alone.
You want a witness, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be scary.
Yeah, that would be scary. Like, I've never had anything like that happen to me before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, nothing moving, what shouldn't be moving in front of your eyes is, like, nothing I don't think gets more scary than that.
I agree completely.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I tried talking to people, like, online, because there's, like, skeptics that try to explain stuff like that. For instance,
yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen those paranormal shows where they'll try to get like skeptics on board trying to explain what it could be. I remember one of them trying to explain these papers like flying around mysteriously, and they explained it, oh, well, the guy's emotions could have actually made the papers move.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
I was kind of like, well, not like a poltergeist, but it's kind of like basically suggesting that people's emotions can have like impacts on their environment. And
right.
So like if you're feel like, I don't know, you want to hurt somebody or something, that emotion could be strong enough to move objects or interfere with electricity or something weird like that. And I was kind of skeptical, but even so, yes, I was experiencing anxiety at the time, but this garbage can was quite a distance from me, like over 10 feet. I was on the far end of the couch in the living room, and this garbage can was in the kitchen. So I don't know how I would be able to do that, even if it was from my anxiety emotions. You know, it's just, I just feel like the distance is too far. There's that.
Well, didn't you try to recreate it too, or try to make it happen by doing different things?
That is true. I did, because I thought it was weird that it was silent. So I went over and played with the garbage lid, and there's literally only one, like, direction you could push it to make it move silently, because all the other ones made noise because of the friction.
Mm.
So,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was crazy that it had to be, like, that specific angle. So it just seemed very unlikely as well. Yeah, because you're right. Even if it was just me, my emotions, it most likely probably would have hit it at an angle that would have made a lot of noise when it would have been silent.
Yeah.
So that's a creepy thing. I'm going to touch on that later on why I think it was silent, but moving on to more things that happened, that was just the most significant thing that happened. A couple times during this phenomena, I would feel like these repetitive bumps underneath the bed, like something's going boom, boom underneath the mattress. And it was just the mattress. It wasn't like the frame. So it was kind of like, at first it was kind of like freaky, but then eventually I would like, you know, again, get the courage to look and see what was going on. It was that point, it would always stop. So.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, my boyfriend would be sleeping through all this. He never had any of these experiences I did. So clearly I was the one who was being haunted, or he would have experienced something. So
yeah, I agree with that. It was trying to get your attention, not his.
Yeah, no interest in him for whatever reason, just me. One interesting time that happened, one time I think I was getting water or something to drink. So I went out of the bedroom, put the light on, ran away to the kitchen, and on my way I saw like this shadow moving in the living room, and it kind of went down into the floor while I was walking. And so I thought that was very weird, because it just, you know, it didn't look, I don't know, it didn't seem like my shadow. I wanted to make sure it was my shadow, so I decided to turn around and walk the other direction, because theoretically if it was mine, that shadow would come out of the floor and back up again. But it did not happen.
Wow.
That shadow did not come back. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to pretend I did not see that.
I don't blame you. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is. And I'm in a two-story apartment. So it always makes me wonder if the people below me saw anything, because if it went through the floor, then theoretically they would have seen it too, but I never asked or anything. So there was
that. Who knows?
That.
I mean, it's possible. But wow. Definitely creepy.
Mm-hmm. Heck, who knows? Maybe the shadow came from them. Maybe the shadow was picking on them and decided, hey, why not pick on the girl upstairs too? I don't know.
But, you never know.
Then all of a sudden, one time I heard, and this is about this point, I started to notice a connection between these events, where when something would happen, I would notice like a change in my like a brain, like something would activate. And I know this sounds very weird, and I don't really know how to explain it. I'm just very, I guess, in tune with my body, so I'm very aware of like what's going on. So during this, I started picking up when weird stuff would happen, like a certain area of my brain would like light up. And so I thought that was very interesting. And one of these times that happened was when I was hearing this noise in my ear that was kind of like a breathing noise. And I was looking around and, you know, I didn't see anything, and the breathing noise stopped. So, and then the last thing that happened to me was when I was trying to, like, ask if I was alone, and then I got, like, a burning scratch sensation on my side. And that's probably, like, in my opinion, more weak evidence, but maybe it's not that weak, because to be honest, during that time period, I got a lot of, like, scratches out of nowhere that were, like, heated like that, and I just figured it was normal because I had them for such a, I want to say like a long time, and I can't remember when they started, but now I think about it, I haven't had them since I moved, for sure. So maybe there was something more to it. I just remember at the time I didn't think much of it, but now maybe there might be more to it than I thought.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you went from like something that would happen like all the time to all of a sudden nothing, like, that's just weird.
It is. Definitely. And to get scratched, even, that's like a personal attack. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it never like like cut the skin or anything, but it was just like a burning scratch, you know, just like people get in those paranormal TV shows, like, ooh, paranormal scratch. But they'll always have like three. Mine's usually just one, or like different times out of shower, there'd be like different designs actually, which was kind of weird. Like one looked like a letter one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting and weird, but I just figured, you know, this happened all the time. I just kind of got used to it at one point. So.
Wow.
But yeah, that's kind of
very interesting.
Yeah, it is. That's basically my own personal experiences outside of what, you know, me and you have experienced together, if we want to talk about that with the Iron
yeah,
Goat
yeah.
Trail.
Mm.
How?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Goat Trail is probably something not many people are familiar with. Do you want to give some history or some backstory on that?
I mean, I remember a vague summary. If you remember more details than I'm going to give, please jump in. But basically, the area is known because, I don't even remember what year, but a bunch of people were in a train and all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden an avalanche happened and took
mm-hmm.
out everybody inside that train. So everybody died.
Yeah.
So the area is
haunted. That's the gist of it.
Supposedly
yeah. it was the early 1900s, and there was a train that goes through up there. What part of Washington State is that? Cascades?
Leavenworth.
Or was that the Olympics? Near Leavenworth, yep. There was an old track that went up there, tunnels and everything. And back in the early 1900s, there was a bad avalanche that just came down the mountain and took the train out. And like you said, everybody was killed, and it's supposedly haunted by these people. And there's also a hotspot for Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually went there specifically in October on a full moon, and it might have even been Friday the 13th, but I can't remember that part. But I know for sure it was a full moon. For sure.
Yeah.
We were walking around. Some people said that they heard a growling behind them, but I never heard the growl. Did you hear the growl that they were talking about?
I didn't hear it either. I got too tired trying to keep up. It was a really intense walk for sure.
Oh, yeah. I remember I felt bad for you and my best friend Megan. Like, because both of you weren't really prepared for what happened that night.
Yeah, I remember I was just getting over a cold. I already wasn't 100% yet. And I'm out of shape as it is. And I'm thinking we're just going to find a couple of spots and, you know, just kind of focus on investigating and turn into an overnight hike, you know, like. Either way.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was actually beautiful with the full moon, like, lighting
oh, yeah,
everything.
It was. It was gorgeous. I remember it was just snow on the ground, and I mean, it was definitely a good hike, for sure. I definitely
mm-hmm.
want to go back one of these days if I get back out there, but...
Mm. Yeah, me too. Yeah. But,
I get better shape.
Yeah. But anyways, the part that we found actually was... pretty early in the trail that was active. And in my opinion, I think the only area that was actually active, because we were walking around and I was getting my EMF meter out and it didn't react to anything except for in that very beginning with the snow wall, I believe it's called. Does that sound right?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
And it's the very first thing you find around the relics in the area on that trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting, like, activity, and I started letting everybody in the group know, and they were seeing it, so everyone decided to stop and get our equipment out. Me and Ricky were talking, saying, hey, come closer, and I wasn't talking, and I was thinking to myself that was kind of weird that I wasn't talking, which made me actually think it wasn't, like, a human spirit, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't think it was, because when it did get closer and the EMF meter just went crazy, I just remember the atmosphere just felt like it was different. Like there was a change, like some sort of magnetic,
yeah.
maybe like magnetic feel. I don't know. It was really cool. Are you able to describe it better than that? Because I know that
it
you said
like a heaviness. Yeah, definitely you can feel something like a heaviness in the air. It was definitely a different feeling than it was before that started happening.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, there was just nothing. Like, it just disappeared. So.
Yeah.
But that was still, like, the coolest thing to me. I still haven't, like, experienced that since. So I would love to go back and talk more to that spirit and maybe find a way to bribe it to actually talk, maybe. But we'll see. That's a separate project for another time, for another discussion.
Definitely.
Then there's our experience. Gosh, I always have to think about this one. So is it the Western Washington Asylum and Cemetery? Is that right?
I guess the Northern, Western, or Northern something. But, yeah, it's an old asylum that was once there and that's been decommissioned.
Yeah, I remember it's in Cedar Woolley. So Cedar Woolley, Washington. So we did an investigation there, originally just the three of us, but then we found, coincidentally, at the same time, three other people who were there doing the same thing. So we started to team up as a group of six and started investigating. And when we were near, so we weren't in a cemetery. We were at the asylum. And I can't remember what part of the asylum exactly was, because I know there was like a plaque nearby that explained it or something. But, but anyways, it's all in ruins. We were up on the hill overlooking it, talking to ghosts and stuff. And we even got like a photo of an apparition. Well, actually a video technically. I just was able to take a photo in that video of this apparition just hanging out next to me for like a good few seconds, just chilling next to my head. And then we were asking it, the spirits nearby something, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we hear like this like weird noise, and we caught it on audio. So I'm not prepared to show it on this stream specifically, but I would love to maybe in another one. Like, just have that loaded up and just play it for everybody so they can hear it themselves.
Yeah, if you can send it to me, I can upload it and play it through the channel here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll do that next time. I'll write that down.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I remember that. We all went on edge when that happened.
Yeah, everything's always better when you're able to, like, share with people listening, like, a little of what you've listened or saw. And I think that's definitely would be something viewers would love to hear, like the sound of this noise we heard that people in the group thought it sounded like a bobcat. I honestly have no idea. There's no way to prove it because we never saw the bobcat in question. And I don't know. My opinion, it was a weird place for a bobcat because I thought it would be in a more heavily forested area. We weren't really in a forested area, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, keep in mind, earlier that day, there were a bunch of kids out there also just playing around and making noises, trying to scare people. And at first, we thought it was one of them, but there was nobody around to be seen.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. We did thought it was the kids at first, but then we realized that they weren't around anymore. You're right.
Yeah.
You would think noise like that would keep away an animal for a longer period than that. So, yeah, I'm still skeptical that it was a bobcat, but we'll have to play it for you guys next time.
Yeah, we'll play it for the next time if you guys listen in on me and Davina's next show. Make sure you come back and listen to us again after this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, got about half an hour left. Let's keep on trucking.
Shoot, man, I have so much more material to cover. I have a feeling I'm not even going to be able to touch on the segue to the spirit ecosystem, but that's okay. I'll just talk about on what I'm doing now and try to get as much coverage as possible.
This is more of an introduction anyway. We're always going to do more shows later, too, and continue on with the subject.
Perfect. Okay. So what I've been up to lately is because I kind of settled down and with child, I have kind of taken a break of doing paranormal investigations. So what I've been filling my time with these days is just looking into missing 411 cases. There's YouTuber called Mr. Ballin that I love watching a lot. who has an entire playlist of missing 411 cases, and he usually crams like 3 to 5 in like one video. So that's where most of my information comes from. But I guess the guy who's like researching all this, David Politis, I guess he's selling his own missing 411 books about all these cases, if you ever want to like read all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he even has his own YouTube channel. Just a second, I should have probably brought that up earlier. I have it in my subscriptions though. So let's see. It's called the Can-Am Missing Project. That's his YouTube channel. If you want to follow every single like missing 411 case that comes up.
Now, if you remind me after this show is over, the show will automatically upload to my YouTube channel. I can add a link to his channel in the description of this one.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Actually, yeah. Yeah, we can totally do that. I will do that. Remind me.
All right.
So, anyways, so I found these, like, stories very fascinating, especially when they were able to find people alive and listening to their stories and testimonies. Most of the time, it was usually children, but sometimes we'd actually get adults. And it's just, like, what their experiences were just very confusing. So they would experience things just like confusion,
mm-hmm.
kind of like a loss of memory of where they're going, and a put-down glitch in location. But basically, another word for saying they just kind of traveled long distance in a way that just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then these other testimonies, although these guys didn't really disappear necessarily, it's still like a paranormal phenomena that came up where these creatures or people would like circle around tents of people camping for like
mm-hmm.
no reason, and people would be freaked out by it. And one testimony actually had their foot touched by one of these things, which was very creepy. And
yeah.
She oddly had like this instinct that she shouldn't like let this creature know she's awake or that something bad would happen to her, which I thought was very interesting and weird, because I think my instinct would not to be to ignore it. I think I would like, I don't know, touch it, attack it, something, you know, like, especially
yeah,
when they
it's hard to say.
Like,
I don't know
really
what I would do if I'm in that situation.
Yeah. Something is touching your foot. Mm. Like, what do you do?
I guess, it's hard to say. I mean, would you just pretend to be asleep, kick it off? I mean, yeah, either way, it's definitely creepy.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, to me, there's just too many of those stories, because I've talked to somebody at work who watches these things, too, and to him, it's just people, but to me, it's not people, like, because there's just so many of the same thing, and there's just no logical reason for it, because this thing happens, like, for hours, where they'll just like circle their tent for no particular reason, with a lot of whispering. So to me, I think there's a little more involved there than just human activity.
It sounds kind of like extraterrestrial, maybe an abduction situation.
Well, I mean, they didn't abduct the person. I mean, yes, they touched them, but they didn't abduct them. If they were going to abduct them, they probably would have the moment they touched them. So.
Right. Or the ones that disappeared and didn't come back to tell the tale could have been ones they took, you know, for example. Like you said, this one is here to not pretend to be asleep. Maybe it would have gotten taken, but who knows?
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. You know, part of me kind of wants to know, like, but you would have to, like, go in with a team. And I know there's, like,
mm-hmm.
apparently, I'm trying to remember where this was for the story of the woman that got her foot touched. I want to say it was in California somewhere, but I would have to re-listen. And maybe I can do that for next show, too, if people are daring out there. But, again, make
mm-hmm.
sure you're not doing this alone so you guys can, like,
oh,
do this
yeah.
as a team.
Have some cameras up. Catch it on video.
Yeah, exactly. Try to catch, see what on earth these things are, you know. Because there's a, like I said, this is a... Where this happened, I guess, apparently, the people camping were about to like set up this kind of like a wire trap so they would hear when whoever was coming by would come by, and they noticed during it that somebody already did that, which suggests that this was a lot in that spot. So that's what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that this would be a great spot to basically do research on this if you ever wanted to. Well, not you, but whoever's interested.
Yeah, definitely. If anybody's interested, yeah, definitely let us know how it goes if you make it back at least.
I find stuff like that interesting. Also, one thing I forgot mm-hmm. to bring up in these survivor testimonies, but part of like people who go missing and they're never seen again or they're found dead, is that for some reason, someone will have like these irresistible urges to separate from the group. Like they just, like even in one example, like the friend was like literally arguing with everybody in the group about separating despite the friends knowing it was a bad idea. And finally the friends were like, okay, fine, whatever. And so they let him go, and that was the last time they ever saw him. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. Almost like they're being called by something. Unforeseen force.
Some
to leave
influence,
everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And there's other testimonies, such as creatures being involved, like Bigfoot, or even descriptions of like a werewolf type of creature, even from rangers, like saying they saw with their own eyes something like a werewolf, you know.
Yeah.
And I think rangers' accounts are kind of a little more reliable because they're not going to be on the under the influence of like drugs or alcohol or anything. So
and they're trained to observe, yeah.
Mhm. And even like these bear creatures, I guess, the creatures that look like bears, but they don't act like bears because they slung things over their shoulders like people would because bears don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, where did I put that? I see. Just looking at all these like different testimonies and missing cases and all these patterns, I started thinking about how it kind of reminded me of like Legends of the Fae. And I know you have a medium talking about the Fae soon, and I'm definitely excited to listen to him on it because he probably has a lot more information mm-hmm. than I do. But from what I do remember reading about them, that they tend to be trickster spirits. And sometimes we'll even, out of enjoyment, get people lost on purpose. And so...
Yeah, I've heard that.
So I'm thinking there might be a connection there with these people, like, going missing. Like, the Fae, like, give you lost. Because they never really say, at least from what I've seen, how the Fae get people lost. It just says that they'll get you lost. And
lore. Yeah.
So... How I'm guessing they do it through like illusions and mental influences, mm-hmm. confusing you, maybe luring you out of safety so that they can get you lost and sneak you into the spirit
mm-hmm.
world so you'll never be found again just because they think it's funny.
Yeah, or the fae realm, if you want to call it that. Either way, it's another dimension separate from ours. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about these creatures and everything is that usually, for the most part, they all seem to like children, even stories of the Fae. I mean, unfortunately, they're not always covered alive. There have been dead, missing children cases, but I feel like more often they turn up alive. And usually the kid's testimony is that this creature just wanted to like take care of them and have fun with them. There's even a specific story from the 1890s of a child that, back then children were commonly playing alone in the woods, so it wasn't really that unusual of a stranger approaching them and saying, hey, do you want to take a break and get some food? and the child felt like he can trust them for whatever reason and decided to follow him. And it turns out there was like this big party, and apparently somebody he recognized as his neighbor was there. And he was having such a fun time that he overate and passed out, woke up the next day in a panic, and was like asking the guy who invited him, like, hey, my parents are going to be worried. I need to leave. And he's like, okay. And so he leads him out, and it's described as like this beautiful, like a field, I think he described it.
Yeah.
I think it was a field. And he was giving him directions on how to get back home. And so he turns on the leaves, and so the boy's just looking around, trying to figure out the directions. And then he turns around, and all of a sudden, all his surroundings just change. Mm-hmm. He's no longer in a field. He's now in the trees, and he's just like no idea like what to do or how he got there. And shortly, he was found by people looking for him, and he even saw the neighbor that he saw at the party. He's all like, hey, didn't you tell everybody it was at the party last night? And he's like, no, we were all out looking for you, which is very interesting. So,
yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes they can, like, take forms of people that you know. There's even, like, other stories, too, of that, where they'll say children saw, like, someone who looked like their grandma, like, motioning them to come to the woods, but then it wasn't really their grandma.
Yeah, someone you trust that they're taking that shape out so they can lure you in easier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't hurt them. They just, I don't know, they just like them, I guess, just, like, taking care of them. Like, even the case where it seemed like a Bigfoot was involved, I don't think he meant to kill the girl. He probably just didn't know what to feed her or something. I don't know. But I wish I could get more details on that story. I'll have to write that down. Maybe I can share that in the next, the story of Bigfoot and the girl that was found with her body. Because it didn't seem like it was on purpose. It was just something that accidentally happened. So.
Yeah, like maybe didn't know his own strength or something.
Mm-hmm. And, but yes, Bigfoot stories. I always find it interesting with the Bigfoot stories. They always say how things become silent in the area as a sign that a Bigfoot's nearby. And when I first heard when this happens, I always thought it was just that creatures in the area knew and they were just afraid. But the more I listened to these stories, it seemed more like it was more like an ability they had. I think they just tend to silence like their surroundings wherever they go, which makes me think they have like some sort of ability to cross both from the physical and spirit world, and that could be why it's so hard to track, because, you know,
they can go back and forth.
Exactly. You're not going to find them through like a heat sensor if they can hide in the spirit world, because you're not going to find anything or anyone in the spirit world if that's where they are. And I think that's why a lot of times when these searchers look for these people and they can't find them, they yet find like all of a sudden items left behind in the area already searched or a body, that it's because those people were trapped in the spirit world and all of a sudden they're not anymore. There's stuff left behind.
Yeah.
Probably dropped off by whatever creature like brought them to the spirit world in the first place.
Well, that is one common theory, that Bigfoots are interdimensional beings.
And I think that makes a lot of sense. I feel like a lot of these creatures I've listed are interdimensional. Like, I know the werewolf thing sounds a bit weird. You know, even I would probably normally shrug that off. But I remember reading that there's like a true account of a werewolf happening, I believe, Germany. And I want to get more details on that next time, because I learned about this, I think, a couple years ago. So the specifics are kind of blurry. I just remember the gist of it was some rich guy in Germany in a village got, I guess, bored being rich. So he needed something more. Mm-hmm. And the story was mm-hmm. that he made a deal with the devil. And the devil, like, I guess for something to, like, give him satisfaction, decided to turn him into, like, a werewolf so he could, like, kill people. I guess that would be his new entertainment thing. I don't know. It sounds kind of dark, and it is dark, but...
Right. But you never know.
And I don't remember exactly how they caught the guy. And I don't think anybody witnessed the transformation, if I remember correctly, but I want to double check. I think they just, what happened was during the chase, they found, like, the creature go in one spot, and when they got to that spot, he was there, I think. And
yeah.
So I think that's where the connection came, and I think the guy admitted it, that he was the creature. So, but yeah, I, like I said, that's a very interesting story that I definitely want to give more details on, more fresh, because, you know, otherwise... If sure, anyone who saw, like, my list, werewolves on there, like, huh, really, werewolves?
Hey, no. I mean, werewolf counts as a cryptid. It's paranormal.
Yeah, you know, I never would have thought that there was any evidence of werewolves. I mean, I don't think they're like the TV show werewolves, you know, where it's like a virus where they bite someone, because none of these stories seem to be about that. They're just creatures that are just separate from us, or in that one example, I guess, an ability achieved from supernatural means. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shoot. Less than 4 minutes. So, yeah.
They got
13.
And if you got to leave.
No, that's fine. I'll see if I can. So, back to Bigfoot. So, another thing I wondered is if... these creatures, or Bigfoot specifically, if they have, like, a strong magnetic field. And something I wanted to, like, look up, and it definitely was hard to find for electromagnetic, so maybe it's just magnetic, and maybe you can help me with this, because it's been a while since I've watched some paranormal shows, but I could have sworn one of the things they did to debunk things was usually to see how strong of a magnetic field there was. Does that sound right? Because I thought magnetic fields would, like, cause illusions and confuse people. Is that right?
It can. Yeah, it can. Depending on how intense the field is, like, even in paranormal terms, even if it's not paranormal, they got something, I think they call it a fear box. Like, if there's, like, old wiring in the house and the electrical fields are so strong that it can cause hallucinations or delusions and things like that. So, yeah, you're right on the number there.
Yeah, so I was wondering, like, you know, even though it's used as a debunker, maybe these creatures also have a strong magnetic field to them, and that's why stuff like silencing things happen, or maybe it could also cause, like, confusion and memory loss and stuff like that.
I saw one testimony. I was watching this show. Where these guys, there's two of them, they're out in the woods, they encounter what they say is a Bigfoot, and they're trying to, you know, get away from it, and eventually they're back in the woods trying to find a way home, and they're taking a path they've used basically all their lives on the same trail they use, you know, like, whenever, you know, all the time, and for whatever reason, they're lost in these woods, and they can't find their way out, and then finally, when the sun comes up, they eventually find a way out of it, and the next day, when they go back, they find this marker. And right next to it is the path they couldn't find when they were trying to find a way home. So it kind of fits into, you know, Bigfoots can change reality or somehow confuse you to that point. So it does make sense.
Yeah, like these other creatures. I mean, I didn't realize that Bigfoot was associated with those things, but yeah, I did figure that there might be a strong magnetic field associated with its ability to silence its surroundings. That, to me, would make total sense to do that.
Well, also, if they're entering interdimensionally, when they go between realities, you think it leaves some sort of a footprint behind, not like a physical footprint, but something you can measure with a tool, like an EMF or something.
You say that you think that they would?
I think so. Like, if you got to travel between realities, that's got to leave some sort of a door or some sort of measurable, you know, effect. Like, let's say when they come into one world and go back to the other, that may show up on an EMF, you know, as a high-level area because they left that little footprint behind.
I mean, possibly that makes sense. In these stories of, like, missing people, and they'll get dogs out to sniff a scent, it'll always, like, you know, stop dead somewhere. Even in the snow, like, all of a sudden the tracks just stop dead and this goes to nowhere. And it makes sense that the scent would probably at that point have entered the spirit world and they were gone. Because I'm pretty sure you can't smell ghosts in the physical world, but maybe I could be wrong.
I mean, there's so much we don't know. I mean, if a spirit can physically manifest enough to physically touch you or hit you, I mean, what else can it do? Or what other senses does it give off? I mean, just because to us, they're spirits. In their world, they could be just as physical as we are here.
Yeah. That reminds me of a story about, like, a little girl that ended up getting trapped what I think was the spirit world, and you know, people were looking for her with the helicopters, heat vision, and they couldn't find her even through the spot she said that she was at. She said that from her account, she was just following her parents in front of her. All she did was look down on the floor or the ground and look back up, and her surroundings just completely changed, and she didn't know where she was. And it was freaky for her. And apparently in this area, she made a friend. And I can't remember the friend's name exactly, but basically she's the one who, I guess, showed her this cave to stay in, basically helped her survive and helped her even climb down this cliff that I guess would otherwise be impossible.
Hmm.
And it was just very fascinating to hear about that. Yeah, that could be an example of, like, a spirit or a fae, like, taking care of somebody. It's really hard to tell. But, yeah, just the fact of just not looking at somebody and they're just gone like that. That's all it takes. A lot of these stories are like that. The moment you take your eyes off somebody, they're just gone.
Yeah.
Just
and
like
there's
that.
Tons of stories like that. You know, like Shangri-La, for example. Supposed to be some hidden village in the middle of the Himalayas that exists outside of reality, but somehow you can end up there. You know, there's tons of stories about that all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And the stuff like this just makes me believe that there's a spirit ecosystem. I know that we've talked about it, and I can't remember like what made us come to that conclusion exactly, but it just kind of came up with a light bulb in my head, like, yeah, that totally makes sense that there'd be a spirit ecosystem. Why wouldn't there be? Like, you know what I mean? So, and the reason why I think this is because there's all these different types of beings and creatures all over the world. Like, they're not all the same. They're all kind of a little different, yet sort of similar, just kind of like creatures on our planet. All share, like, some similarities, yet differences. Some more common than others. It explains the variety and why, like, you know, some people in different cultures have never heard of these creatures in their area. Well, that's because it's unique to that area, that spirit ecosystem.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
that's true.
You know,
there are things they talk about in other parts of the world that we've never even heard of or can even comprehend, but over there in their part of the world, it's completely natural to see these things.
Mm-hmm. I think it totally makes sense. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to dip into more examples of why, but I guess I can a little bit. So,
a few minutes, too.
Okay. So I'll dip my toes in a little bit. So everyone's, well, not everyone, but some people probably heard the term as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of... things are the same above as there are below. The Bible kind of has a similar message, as earth as in heaven, and that's basically a more specific version of that.
I believe it.
So we also know that there's different dimensions if you like follow math theory and multiple universes. So wouldn't sideways also be true? Wouldn't there also be another dimension of spirits and creatures living next to us and we just never knew it because we don't see them?
No doubt.
I think that's totally possible. And it's probably the same in these multiple universes. It's just crazy to think about.
Who knows how many dimensions are out there?
I remember my grandpa is actually like a big mathematician, and he told me like at a certain number it gets too hard to really comprehend, but I could have sworn he said as many as 10, maybe even 12. It was just crazy.
I've heard 12. I think 11 or 12. I've heard that before.
You've heard 12? It might have been 12.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. All right, so we got about 4 minutes left. I guess we can go ahead and wrap up and get ready for next show. Do you have any shout-outs or anything you want to give real quick?
Well, I guess I can do kind of like a wrap-up for what I want to talk about next time that I didn't get to talk to. I wanted to give more, I guess I want to say evidence to the spirit ecosystem idea for next time. Talk more into quantum physics and the YouTube video you guys can watch to get a better understanding. Talk more about a specific creature in the Sami culture to also kind of support this creature I've never heard of. And that gives me time to like look at the passage in this book so I can show everybody, because I didn't have time to find it. But I did look for it, but I didn't have enough time. Talk about kind of conclusions, and if I think if there's a way we can like protect ourselves from ever disappearing and stuff like that. And I'll try to get you guys more information on some of these stories, like the werewolf story that happened in Germany. Was there anything else? I know we talked about the bobcat and the Phoenix Inn.
Yep.
Was there anything else that we went over that I said I would get more information on?
Not that I can recall. I think we covered a lot of that. And if we didn't, if we missed anything, we can always come back around to it the next show as well.
That's true. I can always re-listen and see. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry so much down, but I guess that's a good thing.
No, that's good. We got plenty of material for the next show. And I'm actually considering expanding and doing 3 shows a week, maybe on Sundays, since we got the same day off, and me and you doing a weekly, you know, series as well. That way we can experiment with this new format I'm looking into. We're going to do video through Skype instead of just, you know, audio through a podcast, and see how that goes.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited about that idea. I know a lot of people are hoping to actually see my face, and I would rather watch faces myself so I can identify with that. So. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
And thanks for joining me tonight. Sorry we had that same little hiccup again, but we got around it. I got through and was able to talk with you some here. But I do want to thank you again for, you know, taking the lead while I got connected to the show here.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. I was a little nervous, but, you know, like, hopefully with practice I'll be less nervous.
No, you sound great. You got plenty of confidence behind your voice. It's all good. So with a minute left, I'll go ahead and wrap up. Once again, this is Davina with her paranormal ecosystem subject. We're going to keep talking about that more here. I want to give a call out to William Glenn for next Saturday. And, of course, Josh, which is going to be on Tuesday. We have a great show with him as well. And I'll go ahead and get ready to wrap up here. And thanks again, Davina. You have a good night.
Thank you for having me, Ricky. Thank you. Have a good night.
It's been a pleasure. Good night.
Night.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and shut this gate behind me as I get ready to leave. And I'll catch you guys on the next show.